Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friend and partner in radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, we are sans Ronald J. Martin. Even though it's the lull, it's the dead period in the conference season. Our boy found a way to travel this week, so I don't know where he is, but I know that he must be markedly happier just packing a bag and getting a lanyard somewhere. So wherever you're at, Ronald J. Martin, tip of the cap to you for getting on the road. We hope you're happy. We hope you're giving a breakout session somewhere and working toward that plan, toward that plenary. Pipe, do you think this will be the year of the plenary for Ron? How good do you feel about that? Because our boy's got big dreams, you know, and I want to both encourage him in that, but I want to temper the dreams.
He downplays them. Yeah, he downplays his dreams when he's talking to us. Which, yeah. No, that's a smart thing to do. You don't want to just sort of, you know, you don't want to expose yourself to either ridicule or disappointment. But that's right. We know that deep down in his heart, he envisions himself on a big stage.
Yeah.
Saying many words for lengthy periods of time about a text of scripture or a point of theology.
Dude, that's right. That's the dream right there.
I think it will be the year of the plenary. I think it'll just be, you know, it'll be like one of the plenaries we discussed in our goal setting episode
a few
weeks ago, where it's sort of the mid-level conference. So, yep. You know, he's not going to headline Gospel Coalition. I mean, that's coming up in a couple months with Indy Live coming right before it.
Dude, tell me, who's on the lineup with him for normal pastors? Like, where is he at? If it was Lollapalooza, like, how big would his name be on the poster? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Lollapalooza, he's going to be, you know, you got the big headliner, like one or two of those, and then you got like the five sub-headliners, then you got like the Stage C guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the Stage C guys, because normal pastors is just, it's normal pastors. It's not megachurch pastors who start steak companies and things like that.
Oh, man, which we'll get into that. Absolutely. So he'd be down there on the poster with like Candlebox and Primus and, you know, some of those, if it were the 90s. You know,
but the thing about those are the aspiring, like the goal is to work your way up the pyramid of images on the poster.
Yep.
So, and some of them do. Some of them, you know, they strike such a chord with their listeners that then they just explode. And that could be Ron.
That's the dream.
He could preach for 57 straight minutes of theological fire. And people would say, you know where we need him? On a bigger stage.
On a plenary stage. Absolutely. Well, let's hope, Piper, that wherever he is, he's laying the groundwork for that. He's working toward that plenary. And we do. We have pastoral stardom to discuss because there's been a lot that's happened in the industry here over the last couple of weeks to talk about. But before I do that, Piper, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that plenary or no plenary, this will be the year of Indy Live for Ron. Here's what Indy Live looks like. If you haven't been with the show for a while, if you haven't been to one of our other live shows, we've done two live shows before, live in Louisville. This year, we're Indy Live in conjunction with some other Christian conference. Actually, I don't know which one it is. Which one is it, Piper? Is it Gospel Coalition or TGC? Those are the same things.
Gospel Coalition.
Or TGC,
Together for the Gospel. Is it T4G? I mean, I don't know. There's so many of them. It's Gospel Coalition this year.
Okay. Gospel Coalition, man. Big. The whole world is going to descend on Indianapolis to see our show. And also to maybe catch the Gospel Coalition. So if you haven't been to a live event before, here's what it looks like. We get a big room in a hipster church with an ambiguous name. This year, the name of the church is Soma, which could be the name of like a sparkling water or a tea brand or a bar. In this case, it's the name of a hipster church in Indianapolis.
I feel like it could also be the name of like a salon and spa.
Oh, yeah, dude, you could totally get your hair done at Soma. You could get a little massage. It's definitely a salon and spa. What else could it be the name of?
A band.
I was going to say, not a real band. The kind of band that like it's a guy picking at an acoustic guitar sitting on an area rug, you know, that kind of band.
Yeah, playing like a college quad, like orientation festival.
It's so like,
it's a band that was actually started in college.
Yeah, we've got fall registration between 2 and 4 and then Soma at 4:30, you know. Soma's in the quad.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to play for a couple hours. But
they cover Chris Tomlin songs.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's one of those Chris Tomlin cover bands that's all the rage right now. So yeah, we have a room in a church called Soma. We're going to tape three episodes, and the way that works is the first two episodes are kind of normal. We work through our topics, except with a live audience, and then the last step is Q&A. Q&A is always the best episode. It's always a lot of fun. People bring us stuff. They bring us swag. This year, it's going to be Kent Tekulve baseball related memorabilia. So we'll look for the Tekulve and Ron Say swag. We provide sheet cake, I think. So
we have previously. Yeah. We've sort of set a precedent. So I think we may have to make that happen.
I feel like the people are expecting sheet cake. So there will be sheet cake. There will be snacks. There may be Ligaris Roasters coffee on hand. But there will definitely be good times. And Piper, where can they get tickets for Indie Live?
The easiest place to go is you just go to happyrantpodcast.com. You will see, you know, the description of the show, and you just scroll down a little bit. You'll see a big section that says events and a big orange button that says order your tickets. So you hit that, takes you to the Eventbrite page. Tickets are $15 a pop, so not expensive. And that's mainly just to help us cover costs because we have to travel to get there, and sheet cake isn't free.
That's right.
Granted, sheet cake's not that expensive either. But so yeah, that's you go to happyironpodcast.com, hit the orange button that says order tickets, and then order them, and you can order for yourself and your family and your friends and your whole church staff, and you know, however many people you want to bring, we are happy to have you. I would also like to amend the Kent Tekulve statement to for those who maybe struggle to find that because
let's
like
be honest,
take a little bit of a,
there isn't that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to have to get something custom made. Yeah. And while we would be thrilled at that, I'm not sure that's a fair expectation.
No, you're
for
right,
our
Piper,
wonderful
you're right.
listeners.
That's good wisdom.
I'll go for any retro baseball, anything.
There you go. I will go for that too.
80s baseball. So 80s baseball cards, 80 base, like bobbleheads, pennants, posters,
books,
t-shirts.
Yep. Yep.
Books. Any of those things, you know, like the old school Bill James books.
Oh, dude,
whatever.
Yeah, I would just love some of those. I would absolutely love those for sure.
So that and really, I'm being selfish. I don't know what Ron wants, but I'd be happy with any. Bring Ron tea. He's always happy with tea. I'll take Ted, and I will be thrilled with 80s baseball.
Yep.
Stuff.
No, that's perfect. That's way to put a fine point on it, Piper. Yeah, Ron wants tea. We want 80s baseball stuff. And dude, yeah, if I walked out of there with some baseball cards and maybe a cap or a t-shirt or a little bit of swag, I'd be you know, as happy as can be. So that is Live in Indy. It is March 31st. Is that right, Pipe?
That is correct. March 31st, 7 p.m. At Soma Church. And again, all the details are at happyironpodcast.com, so you can find them there. But that's the night before the Gospel Coalition Conference starts. So if you're intending to be there, or if you know people from your church who are intending to be there, just refer them here. Say, hey, go in tonight early. You get to have a ton of fun before you get a ton of sermon, and everybody wins.
Absolutely. Piper, good promo, man, and I'm looking forward to that. To that event. And it occurs to me just in talking about that and in the salesmanship aspect of that, which is something we've talked about in the program before. And as authors, we kind of feel a little bit sheepish about kind of constantly self-promoting and talking about our own books and stuff. But someone who isn't sheepish at all about self-promoting, at least as it pertains to his steak business, is one Matt Chandler, Matty Chan. So Matty Chan, if you're not familiar, is a huge reformed megachurch pastor, kind of the, you know, we try to make distinctions among, different authors in our tribe. He's sort of the frat boy. He's sort of the Lamb to Kai, the leader of the fraternity that is reformedom. He's got like a 40,000 seat megachurch there in Houston and is killing it.
It's Dallas, the other
enormous Texas city. Yeah. So, when I
say we got to straighten that out because those people are real touchy about, you know, keeping their cities straight, even though the metro areas basically merge into one another and cover 8,000 square miles.
Dude, exactly. When I say killing it, Piper, I really mean that he's killing it in that he's killing cattle, cutting them up into steaks and then selling the steaks. So, Pipe, you're a marketing guy. Talk us through this. Talk us through how you ran across the Matt Chandler steak business and kind of what you think of it.
I ran across it because we have awesome listeners who know exactly the kinds of things that will make us sit up and go, oh, we must discuss this. And so it was tweeted at us by one of those listeners. And so it is a fascinating thing that a man who is a successful pastor, who is highly respected, who is an author, or at least a co-author with a writer, is now starting a business of, like, it's a meatpacking business.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize it's probably like a high-end steak company, but still, I mean, what's the difference? If you're getting steaks, the rest of the cow has to have something done with it as well. So you're essentially, it's a butcher business.
Dude, it's a butcher business.
Matt the Butcher Chandler.
Matt the Butcher, that would be his pro wrestling name. And you know, I mean, doggone it. Couldn't we all see this coming from a mile away? I mean, Chandler would reach a certain level in his ministry and his writing career and say, what's next? You know, it's steaks, obviously. I want to slaughter cattle and sell it to people.
Is there anything more Texan than starting a steak company?
No,
maybe like a barbecue chain.
That's the Texanest thing there is.
That involves dead beef.
What are the odds, Piper, that wherever he is right now, he's driving around in a car with like horns on the front? I just feel like if I'm a rancher in Texas, I want that big, long, kind of low-slung Cadillac with a set of horns on the front. And if I've got my own steak company, man, I'm doing that 100 times out of 100. Do you think Channy is he kind of doing the faux humble reformed thing where it's like, you know, I still ride around in my 9-year-old Toyota Sienna with the Cheerios ground into the carpet because that's what a regular guy I am. I would never do regular guy stuff. If I had the money, dude, I would go full on ostentatious in a heartbeat.
I don't think Matt Chandler is a Toyota Sienna guy.
What do you think he's driving? What do you think Channy's driving?
I think he's driving like a Ford King Ranch.
Okay.
So yeah. It's like the F-150, F-250 King Ranch series. So they're all, you know, tripped out.
Yeah.
And
his nine kids can watch a little TV in there. The King Ranch costs like $150,000. You know,
shoot, they probably has a TV studio in it.
Yeah,
The King Ranch is named after the King Ranch of Texas, which is just an ungodly enormous ranch. Maybe the largest privately held ranch in the country, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
Yep.
So it's a ranch so big that Ford named a line of trucks after it. So he's driving one of those or something akin to that. That's my guess. So. And I'm doing show prep while we're on the show, so
that's good, man. Organic show prep, organic as Channy steaks. Those cows had a good life, I'm sure.
Well, speaking of organic, that's actually how this all started.
Ooh, do tell.
So this all started 9 years ago when Matt Chandler was diagnosed with incurable brain cancer. He was given 2 years to live. That's true, and was very sobering at the time. I remember.
That's also a very great part of the narrative, though, when you're selling steaks. So
that's right. I remember hearing that at Thanksgiving. I was at my parents' place and that was pretty sobering.
Yeah.
His doctors had informed him to eat clean because apparently that helps cancer.
Yep.
His team of surgeons and oncologists instructed him that his diet should consist of all natural, hormone-free, antibiotic-free beef.
Okay.
I like that diagnosis. I wish my doctors would tell me that.
Absolutely.
You know, they're more like eat vegetables.
Yeah.
In following orders, he began to seek this meat locally with no success, and this forced him to seek online sales and led him to buying a ranch.
I'm sorry.
I read that wrong. Missed a very key word. Buying from a ranch.
Oh, I got
so he
you.
Didn't buy
I got
the ranch.
You. Yeah, yeah.
That would have been amazing.
I was going to say, who among us can't relate to that? You know,
that's right.
I'm just looking around online
and clean beef.
That's right. Doggone
so
it! I'm just going
to
buy
breed
the ranch.
Cows.
Yeah, I love it.
that's the ultimate rich guy. I couldn't find a team to root for, so I bought a team to root
exactly
to root for. That's kind of this. His co-founder is named Lance Autry, which is
the Texanist name.
That's the perfect rancher name,
dude. If your name is
Matt
Lance
Chandler
Autry,
is not.
You're not failing in life. You know what I mean? Your road is paved with gold. You know,
you are going to be one of three things.
Okay,
you are going to be a country singer.
Yep.
With lots of hits.
Yep.
You are going to win rodeos.
Yeah.
And be a champion bull rider, or you're going to own a steak ranch,
dude. And in all three cases. Women are going to literally throw themselves at you if your name is Lance Autry and you're doing any of those three things.
I feel like the steak rancher might be a little bit less sexy than the other two, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
This guy is an entrepreneur who noticed that, quote, it always seemed odd to him that people would spend large amounts of money on dome cookers and pellet grills than cook poor quality meat from chain grocery stores.
Mm. That does seem odd. Have you thought about that? I mean, have you spent a, because I know I have. I've just spent a lot of time reflecting.
Yeah, I mean, I walk in and I see somebody with the big green egg and I'm like, wait, you bought your meat from Kroger?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Right. What are we, savages?
That's what I think when people are cooking beef for me on their grill.
Exactly. So what I want to know, Piper, and maybe you can shed some light on this, how did Lance Autry, the ranch maven of Texas, find Matty Chan? How did this happen?
Yeah, this story kind of skips those details. It gives like the inspiration of, you know, cancer, couldn't find the beef, and then it just says it just describes him as a co-founder. And I was like, well, what about the co-founding?
Yeah.
And then it goes on to talk about him beating cancer. That's good. And then they have high quality beef. That's good.
Sure.
So in order to give them a fair shake here, it's called Texas Craft Steaks.
Okay.
They have an Instagram account.
Yep.
They have a website. So if you just Google Texas Craft Steaks, you'll find it. Or you can also just Google Matt Chandler Steak, which is fun to Google.
Absolutely. Oh, man. So Matt Chandler Steak, you can buy, you know, Christian sanctified organic, you know, grass-fed steaks. This is a great
hormone-free, antibiotic-free, all of it free, except for the steak. It's not free. I'm sure it's expensive.
I'm sure it is too.
So, what would be the equivalent for another megachurch pastor? Because this is like,
yeah,
Matt Chandler he's Texan to the core. Mm-hmm. He's a pickup truck driving, apparently cattle ranch owning, hormone steak-free selling.
Yep.
Mega church pastor. That's about as Texan as it gets. What is like sort of the regionally specific equivalent for some other mega church pastor?
That's good, man. That's good. We're probably going to need to just throw out some names and zip through them. But I'm thinking for Alistair Begg, like a really high end, like Scotch, like a craft Scotch, because he's Presby, right?
I think he's non-denominational, but if you're Scottish, I assume you're Presbyterian at some level.
Yeah.
Like you just are.
If you're Scottish,
and you're definitely
like
a drinker.
Yeah, exactly. The usual strictures of like, you know, just the usual kind of boundaries don't apply to you if you're Scottish. So,
Either that or he would start like a golf apparel company.
I could see that,
you know. And like Begg is a great name for a brand, you know, like,
yeah,
these are Begg clubs.
Yeah, these are Begg clubs. Or, you know, this is Begg scotch. It's the kind of scotch that like, it comes in an outer canister that you have to unscrew the top of. And then you actually like unsheathe the bottle from the canister. And you talk about like how it was casked and that sort of thing. I could see that for Alistair Begg. What about this, Piper? What about Timmy K? What's his ancillary product?
Man, that's a tough one. Like, where is he really from?
I don't know.
He's known for being a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Because that's where his church was.
Yeah. I mean, an art gallery? Like, could you see Timmy K? Like,
that's Paul Tripp, and that's actually in real life.
That's a real thing. Like, Paul Tripp has an art gallery.
His wife ran an art gallery. I don't know if she still does, but you know, like in the Arts District of Philadelphia.
Oh, that's good.
Which, given his whole aesthetic, that makes total sense.
Yeah, it totally does.
And yeah, so Paul Tripp would also start like a cooking show. you know, because he's like a gourmet chef on the side.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Boy, that guy.
No, that's a real thing.
You think you know Paul Tripp, and he just keeps surprising you. You know, he keeps you off balance.
Yeah, he writes a whole bunch of books that are really good, and then he goes and just makes a delicious steak tartare.
Oh, what a guy. What a guy.
Probably with Matt Chandler steaks.
Exactly.
Let's see. What would Keller do? That's a tough one. Mm.
Dude, who else is there?
Any thoughts on your end?
My only thought was like art gallery or like a real like indie record label. You know what I mean? He would start the indie record label where, you know, he would put out the record by the super lo-fi Brooklyn indie like hipster bands. And
I could see that. I could see him buying and refurbishing like an old one screen movie theater.
Oh, totally.
And showing movies that he enjoys.
Yeah.
You know, because he strikes me as somebody who probably loves just movies that you wouldn't suspect that he loves, like random 80s comedies or like Chris Farley movies or something. And so, yeah, he buys one of those. It's got the great signage outside.
Yep, the marquee.
And, and Keller Theater sounds really good.
Yeah, going down to the Keller.
I would go to the Keller Theater to see, you know, Goonies.
Yeah, I'm taking taking in a movie at the Keller tonight. Yeah, I dig it.
Absolutely.
I dig it. Let's get another megachurch pastor.
What about my dad? He's not a pastor anymore, but he was for a long time.
Yeah, your dad, man. Ancillary products for John Piper.
So thinking regionally specific, he's so deeply rooted in Minnesota at this point that I feel like all that came to mind was like a walleye farm.
Dude, I love it.
Because we started with like if you get steaks from Texas, you get walleye from Minnesota. But
yeah. Dude, I feel like with your dad, it would be some sort of super understated product that like academics would want. So I'm thinking like a canvas shoulder bag. You know what I mean? To carry like all your books in. But it's not comfortable and it's not sleek because reform guys love being uncomfortable and kind of self-flagellating and hating themselves. So,
you know what it would be. And this is insider knowledge speaking. It would be office furniture.
Interesting. Why? Yeah. Speak to that.
Because my dad does not care about anything.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
No things.
Yep.
He eats like the same thing for breakfast. He wears the same, he just sort of humorously wears the same thing to every speaking engagement. He's not a things guy.
Yeah.
But the comfort of his office chair and the setup of his desk, he has a heated desk. Now, that was a gift to him.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
So here's the thing. He gets really cold hands. I think he has Raynaud's syndrome. You know, it's a circulation issue, which sounds really serious. It's not. It's not super serious. Yeah. It just means you got to keep your hands warm.
Sure.
So he has like a heated desk. He's got this great mic setup for when he does podcasts. I mean, it's
wow.
He's got a nice setup in his office. It's not luxurious.
Yeah.
But it's like super. It's exactly what you'd expect for him. Sort of super efficient.
Yep.
Practical.
Yep.
Don't have to like reach for anything to do all of the tasks you need to do.
Yeah.
Huge computer monitor, et cetera.
Yep.
So he can do all of his like look at the book stuff from his desk.
Yeah.
All that technology setup. So yeah, I think it would either be a service company that does office setup or an equipment company that sells, you know, it sells setups.
Dude, I like that. And man, I bet if he partnered with the heated desk guy like right now, they could sell a ton of those. Small to middling pastor who admires John Piper everywhere would go, you know what, doggone it, I need a heated desk in my study. I can be, you know, 20% more efficient when I'm diving deep into those books and writing my sermons.
I mean, my hands are getting cold right now just thinking about not having one.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
This power of suggestion is strong.
Dude, let's make this happen, man. I don't know who made the heated desk for your pops, but I feel like there could be some business to do. They could be a future sponsor of the Happy Rant, and we could get those moving, man. Maybe we could even score a couple heated desks, Piper.
Man, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn that away. I'll tell you that. Do we maybe have one more megachurch pastor? I feel like we've done all like legitimate guys. Who are some ridiculous guys that could have ancillary products?
Well, since Ronnie's not on and we can throw this guy out there without him just giving like an audible eye roll. Yeah. What about Andy Stanley?
Dude, Stanley has probably part owner in like 14 companies, to be honest. Because if there's anything that guy loves, it's like falling face first into a pile of money. So
things that you and I know nothing about.
Dude, yeah. Things that you and I cannot speak to in a firsthand way. But I feel like Stanley probably owns, you know, whoever the big like defense contractor is nowadays that's like rebuilding Iraq or whatever, he's probably part owner of that. You know what I mean? He and Tim LaHaye going halvesies on whoever that is.
Yeah, Jerry Jenkins is absolutely rebuilding Iraq. There's no question there.
For sure.
The other option is, I think, for Stanley. I mean, you watch him speak and he's like the perfect, he looks very J. Crew, like very trimly fitted.
Yeah.
There are these brands of shirts now that you hear advertised on podcasts. It's all like an online ordering thing. So you send in your measurements.
Oh, yeah.
And they send you these sort of like, there's a brand called Untuck It.
Yep.
Those are like the perfect untuckable shirts.
Yep.
Now, Stanley always has his tucked in from what I've seen. But
yeah.
So I think it would be like fashion men's shirts. And he would have some tagline kind of aiming at the dumpy pastor, you know, like
shirts for the dumpy pastor. That should be the tagline.
Yeah, I mean, but it would be like,
because he's what the dumpy pastor aspires to be. Like they all want to be rich white men with huge churches. But they're not. Like they're dumpy white men with tiny churches, but he's selling the dream.
It would be like,
you know?
preach with not dignity, that's a little too much, but like it'd be like the sharp dressed preacher.
Piper,
or something.
I got
like
it. I got
like,
the perfect tagline as a marketing guy. Okay. You're gonna appreciate this. Here it is. Dumpy Pastor Shirts, that's the name of the company. Colon, dress for the church you want. You know that old adage, like dress for the job you want? Like dress for the church you want, you know? I think that's got
dress for success measured a little differently. Yeah, that's right.
Dude, so Andrew Stanley, if you're listening, you're welcome, number one, for the idea. But let's talk. Let's schedule a phone call. We can do a teleconference, and we can make this deal happen because I think there's money to be made there for the kingdom. If we put our heads together on this shirt company, I think that's a great one, Piper. That's brilliant.
I have one more pastor to throw out there because we would be remiss and it would be a failure as a true Happy Rant episode if we didn't throw out Stephen Furtick as a possibility.
Oh,
because
Ferdy.
how can we discuss megachurch pastors without so what is his okay, let's set aside all nutritional supplements.
Oh, dude, I was going to go there.
Just cheating.
I was going to go with like
a
semi-steroidal, like banned in 14 countries, kind of like weightlifting nutritional supplement. But it's too easy.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, some protein powder, some something.
Dude, not to mention he's probably already part owner in like 14 protein company. You know,
I think
startups.
He co-owns GNC. So
exactly.
Yeah, that seems like a surety. So what else would it be?
I've got one for you, and you may. I don't know. You may or may not like this one.
All right.
I think Ferdy goes halvesies on a fragrance. I think there's a cologne. There's a body spray.
I'm in
spray.
The same arena with my idea. I like it.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you got?
See, okay. Well, let's work out the fragrance idea first, and then maybe we can combine your idea with mine.
Yeah.
So let's flush that one out.
Yeah.
What kind of fragrance are we talking about here?
Ooh, it's very... Well, Ferdy's going to see... This is a positive. I see it as a negative. It's gonna smell very like chemically, sort of like Axe body spray plus. It's the smell of the megachurch, Piper. It's the smell. You know what it's gonna smell like? It's gonna smell like if you mixed Axe body spray with like new construction. You know that new construction smell that's like fresh drywall.
Yeah, it's like if they have different fragrances, there's like new carpet,
yeah, new
smoke
carpets,
machine.
Yes, yeah. Right, smoke machine and drywall, you know, so you're going to mix your new construction smells because that
freshly painted children's wing.
Freshly painted children's wing, like some new stadium seats in the arena there. You know, that's really what the buyer is going to be dreaming about. They're going to dream about their own mega church. So, Essence of Ferdy is it's the smell of new construction or maybe just the smell of money, like dollar bills, freshly minted dollar bills.
And I feel like if you wore the dumpy pastor shirts and smelled like Essence of Ferdy, your church will grow exponentially.
Yeah. You just added 1200 people easy, you know, cause you're the kind of guy now that they can get behind. They want to be led by you, is what's going to happen if you use Ferdy's cologne. Now, Piper, what was your Ferdy ancillary product?
See, mine. So a couple episodes ago, we talked about, sexist razors. I'm a Harry's razors guy.
Yep.
I think you said your Dollar Shave Club.
I am.
I think like Ferdy Shave Club, except because he's a bearded man with very well groomed hair. So it's men's grooming product.
Oh, I like it.
So
like
you've got like the beard oils, you've got the pomade.
Yep.
You've got, He has to have some sort of serum in there to help with wrinkles.
Yeah.
Got to keep those crow's feet away.
Dude, just oil so to spray on like the upper part of your chest that shows when you're wearing the deep V, you know, so just a little oil to make that part glisten.
Get the chest hair glistens just a little bit more.
Yep.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So, but I feel like the fragrance pairs very well with that because it's all part of the aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get that. I totally, totally get that. Yeah, it's a full line of men's grooming products. And I think this is, again, just a natural for Ferdy. And I think he's crazy if he's not already doing it. Man, this is fun. Do you have a couple more names?
What about Rick Warren?
Oh, Ricky. That's a good one. That's a good one. I feel like...
I mean...
Go ahead.
The cliche would be a Hawaiian shirts, but that's sort of like nutritional supplements in Furtick. It's so low hanging, we're just going to ignore
it. Dude, you know what rich Christian old people love doing? They love like taking a really lavish trip. So like a really lavish vacation anywhere and just like kind of low key imbuing it with some spirituality. I feel like Rick Warren would own like a travel agency where he plans these super high end tours for rich Christian people. And he throws in a little spirituality. Like he can imbue it with like, I don't know, you're going to go visit an orphanage or you're going to do some like historical Christian thing that makes your trip to Tahiti like quote unquote meaningful. So that when you talk about
like just they major on the Mediterranean cruise.
Yeah.
Because there's so like, you're like, oh, this is where Paul was killed, but also beaches.
Yeah. This is where Paul like got beaten every day for 6 months and lived on like one little rind of bread. But for you, you know, beaches and lavish meals and yeah.
Try the whitefish. It's delicious.
Try the whitefish. I could see him totally heading up that kind of company and having it just rain money. Buckets, like sheets of money. I got one for you, Piper. Actually, no, tell me your Rick Warren thing. What are you thinking for Ricky?
See, it's funny because as you started of were hemming and hawing, I immediately thought of tours to Israel.
Yeah, yep.
And so we are almost exactly on the same page. You just went sort of broader travel. But yeah, like the religious tourism thing just seems to fit so well.
It really does.
Coming out of like that rich evangelical Southern California, I think it's I can see the checks being written right now.
You can see the checks being written,
printing money,
and you can see who they're being written by. And that is a fertile audience. There are a lot of them, and they have a lot of money to burn. I got another one for you, Pipe. Driskey.
He was going to be my next suggestion.
One
too.
Mark Driscoll. What's he selling? What's his ancillary product?
I see Driskey going into the like kooky religious products,
okay.
Like prayer shawls.
Oh yeah,
and like religiously imbued essential oils.
Yeah, and shofars so and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You order like essence of the Holy Spirit, and it comes with a free diffuser.
Yep.
And like prayer snuggies, so that it's a comfortable prayer shawl.
Exactly. Exactly.
I kind of see him going that route. It's either that or like opening boxing gyms.
Dude, when you were
it's one of the two.
I could see that too. Yeah, MMA, like cage fighting for Christ kind of thing.
Yeah.
When you were in Israel, was part of your tour to go to like one of these huge like religious tchotchke shops? Did you do that on your in your travels?
I feel like those are kind of just around.
They are.
Because tourism is such a big business, or like religious tourism, Rick Warren tourism.
Yeah.
Was such a big deal that they were just around. The group that I was with didn't spend a lot of time at those things though. They were just sort of there, like in the old city. They're around.
Dude, so yeah, they were everywhere. And we went to one like right at the beginning of our tour. And our tour guide, he was incredible. He was this really wolfish, like older Israeli man named Itai, who was great. We all kind of worshiped the ground that he walked on, but he was always working an angle, you know, he was working a hustle. And part of his hustle was, like on our way in after the airport, he drove us right to this huge tchotchke shop. And I'm sure he got a kickback on like everything that we bought there, because it was like, all right, everybody disembark. You've got an hour to look for like tchotchkes. And then we're getting back in the bus. So I had a buddy who I traveled with who loves any kind of religious tchotchke. I mean, he was just like, you know, going bananas at this place. And
man, he's going to love Driskey business when it opens
up.
Dude,
right. He's going to love the Driskey branded shofar. Because this guy, man, he had a shopping cart. Like you could actually get a shopping cart at this place and load it up with tchotchkes. And he had a few shofars that he was going back and forth on. And part of his logic was, I just don't know if I'm going to ever be in a situation again where I've got shofars like this to choose from. Little did he know that like every gas station in Israel, you know, you can like fill your car up with unleaded and go in and like take a leak and buy like a candy bar and a shofar. You know, they're everywhere.
That's right. It's like, yeah, I'll take a Coke and a shofar, please.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take 14 gallons on pump four and a shofar and a, you know, a Red Bull, you know? Everywhere.
It is absolutely true. So I'm envisioning Driskel's marketing for this thing.
Yeah.
And I see it as like the the paid advertising on television.
Yeah.
You know, where they have the spokesperson, he's got the kind of like they used to do for like ShamWow or OxyClean or whatever. I can just see Driscoll like holding out this woolen woven scarf.
Yep.
And in that, you know, that sort of raspy voice, you know, that he has, where he's like, you know, we have prayed over this and we have anointed it with the Holy Spirit and it is infused with, like, I can hear him just going on that and then going on the buy two and get a third free for your next door neighbor kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then spinning into like how this is evangelism and how the Holy Spirit will anoint your whole neighborhood.
Absolutely. I could totally see that. Also, Driskey's...
This may already be happening in the Scottsdale area. I'm not sure.
Driskey's persona is analogous with the ShamWow guy. Like, that guy, like, Driskey is the church version of that guy. So I think this is just...
There's some truth in that.
This is a natural for him. This is really a natural. All right, I got another one for you.
All right.
And by the way, this is the whole episode. So
we had three topics, but now we've just settled into
this. Yeah, we're down to one. We've gone 35 minutes on this one topic. So we're just going to stay here. Rob Bell. What is Robbie B? What is he selling?
So I have in a strange twist of fate.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait to where this is going.
So Rob Bell started as like a solid preacher, well, at least, you know, gave that impression. And then he got sort of more and more out there to the point where like he's like, I don't know. Does Jesus exist?
Yeah.
Does anything exist? Do I exist?
Dude, I'm going surfing with Aaron Rodgers. I'm ruining his faith. You know, yeah. I mean, he's doing
it's
all
like,
this.
I'm a spiritual advisor who believes nothing at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to go into financial services.
Okay.
He's going to be like, let me help. He's a suit and tie guy who is helping people get out of their adjustable rate mortgages.
Interesting. Wow. Now, this is fascinating to me, Piper, and I love the creativity there because immediately, like, I went to, you know, he's going to sell like surfboard wax. Remember how there was that surfboard wax that was called like sex wax? He would sell like whatever the Rob Bell version of that is. It could be that. It could be like
like Zimzum wax.
Zimzum wax, exactly. He could put his name on like a quinoa brand. You know, take advantage of the quinoa bubble that we're in right now. You know, but I like this financial services thing.
That feels way too predictable to me.
I agree.
Rob Bell, though, he got to where he is by refusing to stay where he was. Like he just was perpetually like, nah, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
And so I think the hard turn for him to make is into just sort of corporate America.
Yep.
He becomes a corporate buttoned up.
Yeah. He's going to have a
salesman of financial services. He's going to sell you your next life insurance policy.
He's going to have a slim fit suit. You're going to go into his office. You're going to see a little picture of the wife and kids. And, you know, he's going to plug all your information into a spreadsheet and save you some money.
You're going to trust him
because
he can show you his portfolio of clients and it's professional athletes and it's Oprah.
Yeah.
But then you're also going to trust him because he's going to be able to drop the, you know, in a former life, I was a pastor.
It
went really well, but I just felt like
God was calling me to something different.
Wasn't the right thing for me long term.
And
so you're like, oh, he's an inherently trustworthy man.
He's a trustworthy.
And so I will give him all my money to invest in whatever.
That's right. Absolutely. Do you think Rob Bell would be good at investments, given how he's managed his own career? Let's use his career as the barometer of whether or not he's going to be good at investments, because I'm not so sure. I don't know if I'm sold on it.
No, I think if he – here's the thing. If he was going to be good at investments, he would have figured out how to sell stocks that he had at a different time. Instead, he let them devalue to the point where he's now lost.
Yeah.
He's lost the evangelical cachet and cachiche that he had.
Dude, the dumbest thing he ever did was leaving Grand Rapids because his shtick – was just absolutely a gold mine in Grand Rapids. Because in Grand Rapids, people wanted to rebel. Whereas in California, like, everybody's rebellious. So, like, big whoop. You know, you've got this, like, edgy, I don't know if Jesus is a real thing church deal. Well, whatever. You can get that.
They're like, nobody here believes in Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to the club.
You can get that anywhere in California. You can swing a cat in any direction and hit some guy who's talking about that. But in Grand Rapids, he was, like, the archetypal like West Michigan rebel, in that he wasn't really rebellious, but like everybody felt a little more dangerous by being around him. So I think
his rebellion was simply posing questions. It wasn't like God is dead. It was like, well, are we sure?
Yeah.
What if?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think whatever next like career moment, whatever the rocket ship moment is for Rob Bell, it involves moving back to GR. Because that's really his wheelhouse. See, mine for him was a little bit different in that I have him, Piper, moving back to Grand Rapids and opening up an advertising agency, which is no less crass. I mean, it's equally cash grabby as yours. But it's just like he's going to have an ad agency. It's going to be called Soma. They're going to buy like an empty building that was like, it's going to be ironic for some reason. So they're going to buy the old like First National Bank building in Grand Rapids, and they're going to hipster it out. They're going to call it Soma Advertising, or Soma Marketing or whatever. And he's going to make a killing. It's going to rain money. They're going to be doing commercials for like, all their commercials are going to look like Numas. Like, you're not going to know what the product is that they're selling. You're going to have no clue what they're selling.
It's going to be like Donald Miller's thing, except that Miller's really good at it.
Yeah.
And Bell is just going to rely completely on personality.
Dude, you're right. Donald Miller has literally done this. Like, he went from being like slightly rebellious hipster author to being like, you know, leadership guy in 20 minutes.
And I've said this before. The difference is like, if you look at Miller's marketing stuff.
Yeah.
It's really good marketing stuff.
Dude, that's like fascinating.
He crafted this into a – he really does help brands. And I feel like if Rob Bell did this, he would really sell himself.
Dude, which makes sense because, I mean, Donald Miller like helped his own brand. You know, he was a guy with like nothing to sell really, but he sold the daylights out of it, you know, with Blue Like Jazz and the whole Donald Miller deal there for a while, you know, 15 years ago or whenever that was. I would trust Donald Miller with my advertising. So at whatever point it becomes time for Happy Rant to do like an ad buy for the Super Bowl, I think we're going to trust Donald Miller with that. But I can see he
can help us build our story brand. I'm not sure I want Numa advertising anywhere near this thing.
Exactly, man. Numa advertising. People are going to watch this spot and they're going to be like, oh, that was really thought-provoking and pretty, and I have no idea what the product is.
So that leads to the follow-up question is, of all of these products we have discussed, which ones would we actually put our money into, like either as an investor or as a purchaser of said products?
Ooh, what am I investing in? That's interesting.
So we've got steaks.
Yep.
We've got office furniture.
Yep.
We've got a theater.
Yep.
We've got
men's grooming products.
Men's grooming products,
yeah.
And we've got men's like pastor's fashion,
yeah.
Like,
dude, I don't know about you, Piper, but I'm going all in on Andy Stanley, Dumpy Pastor, you know, fashion wear. I'm going all in on that.
If I was an investor, I would put money behind that. I would not put money behind the theater, although I would as a customer,
dude. Yeah,
I would spend money to go to said theater.
I'd be excited to go to the theater, but I don't think I would invest in it. You know,
office furniture, I think I might consider doing both.
Dude, it's not sexy, but that's got legs, man. That really has legs.
Yeah, and nobody's ever accused Mike. My dad is not he's not an over-aggressive businessman. He's not the Andy Stanley of this.
Yeah.
So he's going to scale this thing appropriately.
He's going to scale it. He's going to be
healthy
like,
pace.
Yeah, he's going to be the perfect sort of organic pitch guy in that, you know, like that spot is going to open on, you know, John Piper sitting at his desk being super productive. His hands are warm. You know, his fingers are flying away on the keys. He's writing like 14 books. And then he's going to turn and very earnestly, blood earnestly face the camera and go, this desk is so warm. You know, you have no idea how warm and comfortable this desk is and how
it gives me such serious joy.
It gives me such serious joy. Yeah. This desk is a gift from the Lord and also a gift from the Amish guy who made it for me.
You know the Shane Company Diamonds commercials or the Tom Baudette, what is it, Motel 6?
Yeah, Motel 6, yeah.
That's sort of the spirit of this, you know. It's like the trustworthy older gentleman.
That's right.
He's not trying to impress anybody. He's there in like a ratty sweater or that same blazer he wears for everything.
Dude, right.
And you just look at him and he just stares at you with that super intense gaze.
Yep.
And then you have a heated desk.
And you know what's happening outside?
Because it just happened.
Outside the window in this ad, Piper, if I'm shooting the spot, like there's snowflakes falling. Like there's a snowstorm going on outside of his study in Minneapolis, but he's toasty and warm in his heated desk.
It's another polar vortex.
Yeah.
It's negative 80,000 degrees outside, but his fingers are warm on this heated desk.
That's right. It's not cold in Piper's office. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm investing in that all day long. That's a winner. That's a winner.
I don't.
Andy Stanley's dumpy clothes is a winner.
Rick Warren is like they're cutting me a dividend check before they even start.
Oh,
that
dude,
company.
The Rick Warren thing.
People have paid for trips that don't exist.
It's raining money. I would go all in on that all day long. Ferdy's thing. I would be too embarrassed to get involved, you know. And I think it's the kind of thing that like he would move some units initially.
You know, they're going to be really well packaged, crappy products.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to be like mass produced in some, you know, sweatshop, but they're going to look nice. Yeah,
they're all going to have a slight smell of rubbing alcohol.
Oh,
you
exactly.
Know.
Yeah, very antiseptic. Very, very. Yeah, just not great. Drisky.
What about Driscoll? What about Driscoll's religious paraphernalia?
Dude, that I think that's going to be dependent on Drisky being a safe investment or not. And he's such a loose cannon. I don't trust him. You know, I don't trust Drisky to not like backhand somebody at his church and then the whole company's down the drain. So I don't think I'm putting my dollars behind.
He actually, he beats one of his ushers with a shofar or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That thing could go south just in too many ways, you know.
You see like a viral video of the staff meeting. Somebody's taking it like covertly in the corner with their iPhone of him just shattering a shofar against the wall in rage.
So you do that and your company, your company stock tanks. So so I'm out on that, I think. Is that all of them?
Yeah.
Did we cover them all?
I think, let's see. Did we cover them all? I think so. I don't think we missed anybody.
Dude, we need a...
Yeah, and I mean, I'm in on Chandler Steaks because it's steaks and it's Matt Chandler, and he's a safe investment, and beef is delicious, and it cures cancer.
Dude, if we start this heated desk company, though, we need the analog to Chandler's rancher, like Rhett Autry or whatever the guy's name is. We need
Was it Logan Gentry?
Logan Autry, that's what it was. Rhett Gentry. You know, it's some, like, quintessentially Texan name. Anyway, we need like the upper Midwestern, like Norwegian analog to that guy so that we can really sell people on these desks.
Oh, it's got to be like Steve Johansson.
Yeah,
or something
like
that.
Sven Nystrom, you know.
That sounds a little bit like somebody who builds like rustic log forts. That's a little too manly. It has to be sort of a generic first name, like maybe Walt.
Walt. Oh, Walt, you know, is so trustworthy. Walt, that plays
like,
so
like
well.
Walt Youngstrom or something that. Like that's.
Dude,
that's sort of the perfect Minnesotan name.
And Walt Youngstrom would be like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go by the office and take some measurements there on your desk. And yeah, Walt Youngstrom would
we'll have the order out to you by Thursday, and it'll be right on time, you know. And we'll get it set right up for you.
Yep. No, I would buy a desk from Walt Youngstrom for sure.
Absolutely, and I'd let him in my house to set it up, even if I wasn't home. Big keys under the mat, Walt.
Dude. Right? Let yourself in. Help yourself to anything in the fridge. You know, make yourself at home. Walt.
Made some coffee. It's warm in the pot. Just made it fresh this morning.
Exactly.
I'll be back shortly.
Made you some Ligaris roasters. You know, take as much as you want for the road. Gosh, we're so good at business, Piper. Except as it pertains to ourselves. I really, really.
You know what that means? What? It means we were bred to be consultants, because consultants are people who suck at their jobs, so they go tell other people how to do
theirs.
Dude,
seriously, these are billable hours. We need to be charging by the hour for this, because we have spun out 47 minutes of business brilliance. I'm going to give you one more, a real quick one.
All right.
And it ties into the sign-off of the program, because I'm about to sign the show off. Rachel the Held Evans, what's her ancillary product?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. Nothing comes to mind that I can say on here.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I'm putting you on the spot with it. I've got one.
Well, see. Okay, go for it.
Cleaning products for men. Like, it would be a way to flip sort of gender stereotypes on their heads. In that, like,
see, I was trying to come up with like products for working mothers.
Okay,
so it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
it's just it's the other side.
It's the other side of that. So yeah, I don't know what
cleaning products for men are. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know what it would be called, but it would be like the image would be like Mr. the Held Evans with a baby, like, you know, lashed to his chest in one of those like papoose baby things, and like
you got like the baby boy. I think you just call it like he cleans,
you know, like, yes, yeah, he cleans. And
it's got like vague religious imagery, which is sort of like her.
Yeah,
there's some vague religiosity there. And then Yeah. And then it's, and then, then it, I think it would absolutely sell. It'd be like every guy's Father's Day gift until, you know, for the future. I would invest in that one too.
I would too.
Because there's a lot of people who would buy that. They'd be like, here, honey.
Yeah.
I bought you a Swiffer.
Dude, that's got real. Oh, wait, real,
it's
not
a Swiffer. It's a He Cleans mop.
That's got real potential, pipe. I like He Cleans. I like that all day long investment wise. So, Piper, we have done what we always do on this program, which is creating brilliant business ideas and giving them away for free. I feel like we do a lot of that on the show, in addition to wandering to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.